Good evening, Abayisa. Tonight's shiur should be Lirafua Shleima of Feige Bas Dache. I'm reading a story. I want to share this with you. I think it's an amazing story. I think it's brilliant. The Heilige Rishna, Rabbi Saul Friedman, the Rishna Rebbe, not to be confused with the Radzina Rebbe, who was a Tchelis man. He wasn't not related at all. The Rishna Rebbe, and he once on Shalashudas, he lived to my house. When did he live, Rabbi Feingold? 200 years ago, approximately. Yeah. So he was one of the early Chassidic masters, and he once it's a moiding ma'aser. He by Shalashudas once, he said the following story. He said that there was a Yid who was a balabos who struggled a little bit with Parnassah. It wasn't going so smooth. But he was mekabel on himself that he's not going to do it. Parnassah was difficult for this gentleman. It was difficult, and he was a small-scale soicher, buying and selling merchandise, but on a small scale. He wasn't very matzliach. His business wasn't running so well. He wasn't really making ends meet, just struggling. And once he decided that he wants to be mekabel on himself, to accept on himself not to talk before shachis. He said, not it's a chumrah, but he felt up to it, not to talk during shachis, that was going to be his own personal chumrah. And he did that for days and indeed weeks. He did not talk before shachis. That was his chumrah. He just made ani, and then he's going to go to shul, talas tefillin, daven, and only then he's going to, not to talk during shachis. Chumrah, it's nice, but it's no requirement of pialocha. One day, he had a business encounter with a very grand soicha, very great, very famous, a very grand soicha, a businessman, and was trying to engage in business with him, and they were negotiating, and that would be the deal of his life. If he breaks that deal, if that works, that's going to be the deal. That's going to be it. He was negotiating. He was looking very, very promising. But then the big soicha then said, you know what, I'll have to get back to you tomorrow about this. I'm going to make a decision. I'll get back to you tomorrow. And he was very excited because he was looking very promising. He was looking very good. And the following day, this Yid was going on the shul to Shachis. And this very big soicha was going towards him. And he said, you know what, I've decided I'm going to go for this business. I'm going to go for this deal. I'm going to go for it. But this Yid had accepted himself not to talk before Shachis, and this was exactly before Shachis. This was just before Shachis, and so he made a sign language. And he says, "I'm not gonna engage in business now. I'm not gonna engage in business." But then his rich man then said, "Okay, listen, I have to make a deal with you now. If you're interested, we're gonna go for it, and we're gonna sign, and we're gonna do the business. But if not, then I'm going out of town later, and then forget it. I'm not gonna be back. I'm gonna be out of town." And that's it. I'm traveling. And this Yid then said, you know, shortly he made signs, you know, give me 20 minutes, give me half an hour after Shachis. But he didn't want to talk because that was his Kabbalah. He accepted himself not to talk before Shachis. And then the businessman then said, okay, forget it. You know, you don't want to do business now. I'll find somewhere else. Don't worry. And he left and he walked off. And that was the end. That was the end of the deal. That was the end of it. And he was then, without having talked and without having spoken, he went to daven Shachis. And he doesn't. Now, the Rishna Rebbe said that story in Shalashudas, and that everybody was waiting for the climax. It's such an anti-climax, what's going on? I mean, okay, so very good. But the Rishna Rebbe didn't complete the story, he just went on to Shalashudas, and he carried on saying Zmiris, was doing Droy Yikro, he was saying Zmiris. And then afterwards, before Ma'ariv, the Chassidim went to the Rishna, and they said to him, this is an anticlimax. I mean, say the end, you know, that he made millions elsewhere, or, I don't know, say this is an anticlimax, that story. And then the Rishna said the word, and I think it's such an amazing word. He says, don't you believe that the Rebbe runs the world? You want to hear the tremendous Ashkocha parties that happen afterwards, yeah? Which may have happened, it could be. You know, we're expecting that final thing that he would have been stolen, he would have been lost, or he made millions elsewhere. We want to expect the climax. He said, don't you believe that the Rebbe runs the world? If he did a mitzvah, if he did something, he was mekabeling himself something, he surely did the right decision not talking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay him back. We don't have to see when and how and where he's going to pay back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay him back. That's a fact. If you don't believe in that, you're not pekoris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay him. We don't know when, and we don't know where, and we don't know how, Purim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay him back. One Tzchav Oynish is one of the things that he has to believe in. Tzchav Oynish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay him back. And he said, the fact that you're asking for the climax of that story, he said, that shows that it's epsnished. Tells the story of the Rishon. I think it's brilliant. And I was just thinking about this story. I was reminding myself of this story because so is Chukas HaTorah, this week's Pasha. And Ramoshe Feinstein asked, what is Chukas HaTorah? We're talking about Por Adumo. And Ramoshe Feinstein asked, as well as other Achronim, what's Chukas HaTorah? What's the rule? How do you translate Chukas HaTorah? How do we translate it? What's the translation of Chukas HaTorah? Statutes, yeah, is that what it is? What's the chukas? And the Moshe says, what's this poraduma? What is this choik? What is such an incredible rule? So it's chukas haTorah. This is the statutes of the Torah. And it goes into poraduma. What's so grand about poraduma? What's the great deal about poraduma? And the Moshe Feinstein explains the beauty and the importance of poraduma is because it's a mitzvah that we cannot comprehend. Shlomo HaMelech says here, it's a mitzvah we cannot understand. It doesn't really make logic sense, how it works, the dynamics. And of the Paraduma, that it's Metayer Tmeim, and it's Metayer Tohirim. There's some dynamics which don't seem to make sense. And it's, that is the Chukas HaTorah. That is the Chuk of the Paraduma, is that the Chukas HaTorah of the Paraduma, the fact that it's so special about Paraduma is the fact that we cannot understand it. Try to understand, but you're not going to be Matzlech in understanding. And that's the Chukas HaTorah. We don't always understand. I had this reminded me also, this mice of Reb Aaron Leib, Reb Aaron Hashem. I just thought, I have this book. I must tell you, it's the best book. If you want to have on the nights at Kabbalah, a good book, yeah, to read a bit before you, yeah, it's the best book. They can really, I have it. It's 400 pages, brilliant. One story of the Exodus, the story of Reb Aaron Leib. I'm telling you, it's absolutely brilliant. And I saw this story the other day. I think it's absolutely amazing story. It's such an eye opener because that's how Yid has to live. That is, and that's against our nature. The story of Reb Aaron Leib was as follows. Do you remember a few years ago? I remember I was in Eretz Yisrael then when the Kaf Shtayim was blown up. Do you remember that? There was, I think it was on a Motzei Shabbos, that it was a bus number 2 that was attacked, and it was when was it? I don't know if I can probably was in that so then. 2003. In 2003, something like it makes sense. It was those years. And the Kav Mispar Shtayim was bus number 2, which is the number 2 which goes from the coastal. It's the coastal and back. And I don't know. There was Motzei Shabbos. Pardon. 2003, and I don't know which day of the week was it Motzei Shabbos, was it midweek? I don't remember exactly when it was, but I remember clearly when it took place. I remember it very, very well. It was the Mispar Shtayim, and it was the Mispar Shtayim is the bus that is the coastal route, and it's mainly people who are, you know, either going or coming back from the coastal, and it was blown up, and most people in the bus never were killed by terrorists. I remember it very, very well. I remember so clearly the sirens. I remember it really, really well. And it was a shock. It was a massive shockle because, you know, Shluch HaMitzvah and Izokin and people are going to daven to the coastal and what's going on, and they all died in it, the most terrible, horrific, bad terrorists. And then Baal Leib was then approached and he was asked the question. He said, well, how can that be that Yidin davening and Helich Yidin, they're killed like that? It's terrible. And Baal Leib didn't answer. It took him 3 days until towards the end of the Shiva. He then, after Ma'ariv, Reb Aaron Leib Steinman then said the following. He said, I want to tell you something, Rabbi Isai. We had a little share after Ma'ariv. And Reb Aaron Leib then explained, and he said as follows. He said that, he said there was a town's fool, where he was brought up. Forgot which village exactly. He found it was a town's fool. And the town's fool. And he, there was a, when the first car came, and the first car was driven in that city. So everybody was going around the car, and everybody was looking at the first car that was driven in that place. First car, one of the town's fool goes, first car fancy, and town's fool goes, and he looks around the car, and everybody's fascinated by the new car. Nobody's driven cars, nobody's seen cars before. Just pictures, first time somebody actually sees physically a car being driven. And they look around, and everything, the town's fool looks, and he sees it was like on the side by the door, there was one screw where something was, and he looks, you know, everybody opened up the engine, everybody's watching, or the petrol, there's one screw on the side, and this town's fool looks, and he asks the person who drives the car, the chauffeur asks him, he said, gentlemen, can you just explain to me, what is that screw doing over here? What is that screw over here? What's that screw? And then answered, well, you understand all the engine, you understand all the pipes, you understand the exhaust, you understand how the engine works, you understand everything, just that screw, that's your kasha, That's what you don't understand. That screw, that's what you don't understand, is that screw. You know, shoita. I mean, there's an engine over here. There's a whole, there's all like, mechanical engine over here. You don't understand that screw, come on, get real. That's, you know, it's a ridiculous question to ask. So Baal Nebi said also, that people ask, everybody's asking about the Kavis Bashtayim blown up. He said, that's what you don't understand. We are tiny little things. The Bershom runs the world. That's what you don't understand. That, come on, this is the world, trying to understand everything. We're not here to understand everything. We can't understand everything. It's not for us to understand everything. The Bereshit runs the world, and we're just tiny little parts of this, of the Bereshit's master plan. So I think that's the third chukas atayah, because a person naturally, we're inclined to always try to understand. But we have to realize that the ball game is not in our hands. So it's chukas atayah. Yeah, Kamis Pashtam of Rabban Leib and the original story. Okay, we are up to Simon Shin Tes Vav. We discussed yesterday Mechitzo Materes. We spoke about the Pareches as well. We're going to be talking about a bit more about those Mechitzes. Says the Ramo, second line in Simon Shin Tes Vav, towards the end of Sif Aleph. You are allowed to make a mechitza, a wall, a partition, because of the sun, because of the cold. If it's freezing, you're allowed to put up some partition. Or if you've got candles, you've got lights, and you're concerned that the wind is going to blow them off. So you're allowed to make a partition. Set up a partition that it shouldn't blow off the candles. Why are you allowed to do that? Why is it different than the mechitz we spoke about yesterday? Yesterday we spoke about mechitzes that are also to put up. Why are those mutter? Very good. Exactly, because it's not mechitz materes. Or mechitza only also if they're mechitza materis, if they're actually making a halachic status, they're changing halachic status. To make a mechitza, which is not changing anything, is mutter. So here, you're not changing anything, you're protecting the candle. You're protecting you're protecting from the sun, you're protecting from the cold. So that's mutter. So Rabbi say, a mechitza is only also if it's a mechitza materis, if it's a halachic mechitza, only then is there an issa. If there's no element of halachic change, there's no halachic change taking place to put up mechitzes mutter. Aval also last mechitzim ne'oir aneir kdei shishamish mitosoi to put a mechitza, a partition because of shishamish mitosoi or mipnei sforim kdei shamish las yitzroch. If imagine you've got sforim and you need to do something in front of the Sforim, such as, an example would be changing nappies, I think is a good example, or in previous, similar things that you want to do in which you need to have a mechitza. So in order to put a mechitza there, that would be, or somebody needs to be excused. Again, in the olden days, it wasn't as well organized as we are nowadays. So then, to put a mechitza up there, what would be the halacha? Also, because that is not sneers. This is not sneers. You need to have a mechitza. You need to make a different area over here. You need to make it's not. It's beyond sneers. Here, the halacha of Vayomechanecha Kodosh that he's referring to is halachas in which there must be a partition, it must be in a different area, and it's more than sneers. V'chein liv nesforim k'te l'shamesh u'la s'trocha v'chim l'a sh'hoye m'boit yoyim tefach sh'oz mut alo yisif aleo b'shabes. Here, these words are critical. The Ma says, what's the halacha? Okay, say that you've got a reason to make a partition. Because, let's say, there is a, what would be another example over here? There is. It could be that you need to cover up the Sforim. You need to make a partition in front of the Sforim. Whatever the case may be, because of somebody needs to be the sforim need to be protected. They need to be divided now. There needs to be a separation in front of the sforim. The Ramona says a very interesting halacha. What would be the halacha? The same would apply also with the Sefer Torah and anything similar. What would be the halacha if you don't have a full mechitza across in front of the sforim yet? All you have is one tefach. So imagine there is a curtain which potentially can be spread over there, but now there is only one tefach which has been placed there, not across the whole area. We learned to make a mechitza materis is also agreed. What will be the halacha if the mechitza materis is not there yet, but there's only a tefach of the mechitza is there already? A tefach and not more. Tamo is telling us now a chiddush that if there's a tefach already present, then to spread it across, the halacha is that it is mutter. That's the last words. V'chein lifnes vom k'tele shamash alas yitzrochov im lo yishoyo mi bo yoyim tefach. If a tefach was already opened up, then shos muta lo yisif olio b'shabas, then you'll have to extend it. An extension of a mechitza materis is muta. Rabbi said it will be very relevant. Why is that? If the parochis is open already for a tefach, you're right. Very good, very good, very good. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Save base, we'll talk more about his tefach later on when it comes to the Bagi Shail as well. Maybe we'll speak about it. Save base. We're talking about a boat now. Now the scenario is as follows. You've got a boat and you want to make a cover around a canopy around it. Say it's raining or it's sunny or something. So what was a very technically easy way to handle this would be to do the following. Eitzim, there was a piece of wood, a plank of wood. You would stick out one side of this board, you stick in one side of the boat. Can I just maybe have a, what would be a good boat? Can we just have a boat for a minute?
Hat.
The hat, great. Okay, imagine this is the boat. Ignore the rim, please. Okay? This is the boat floating nicely. Yeah? Okay, now ignore that. So now, in order to, this is just the internal hollow part of the hat, that is the boat. And what I'm doing now is, the Shulchan Aruch says, in order to protect it, I want to protect it now. What I'm doing is, I'm taking a plank of wood, I'm sticking it onto the side, onto the doifen of the boat, and I'm sticking it in. And then it's a plank of wood which has some flexibility, and I'm stretching it, I'm bending it all the way to the other side over here. So I've got one plank of wood I'm sticking over here, I'm bending it all the way to the other side of the other wall. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Eitzim, the boards, shetoykin roishon ha'echot, that you stick in one side, the head of the plank of wood, bedoifen asfin on the wall of the boat, fekoifefin roishon ha'sheni, and the other side is bent with that board. Hashem b'doifen Hashem all the way to the other side of the wall. Shel asfina of the boat. For person machzeles aleim, or once I've put this board from one side to the next, I've bent it. Now it's like an arch. Is that the word? It's like a, what is it? It's like an arch. And now person machzeles aleim itzel. And now once I've got this arch now, which is from one side to the other side of the boat, I'm now putting machzeles, a mat, over it. What have I created? An oil. So now I've put a mat on top of it, from one side to the next. Im yesh brach von tefach, if this wood itself is a tefach, the board itself is a tefach, oi, oh, hafid ein brach von tefach, even if this board has not a tefach, but himyesh ben zel hazeh shlo shetfachim. So either case number one is that the board itself has got a tefach prior to spreading the matter over it. Example number one. Or case number two is that the board itself doesn't have a full tefach, but I've put a few of those planks, three of them, four of them, across from one side to the next, and each of them is next to the other one, really close by. In a way that they don't have, that you don't have three tefachim between each other. So they are like mamish next to the other, And there may be less than a tefach, but there's a few of them, and they are within less than three tefachim next to each other. And there's less than three tefachim distance between the boards. Chashiva koil, it's considered an oil. What is considered the oil? The arch itself is an oil. Why? Either case number one, because it's a tefach already, or case number two, because together with lavud, it's already long, more than a tefach. The arch itself. And therefore, once since you have created his arch before Shabbos, you've got an oil already. It's a tefach. It's an oil. And once you've got a tefach, we are learning now a massive chiddush that the extension of an oil is always mutter. It's a massive chiddush. The extension of an oil, the surface oil, aray, is mutter on Shabbos. You're allowed to spread over it the mat. To surface oil, because all you're doing is to surface oil. And therefore, if you've got a tefach open already, you're allowed to spread it more than that. And the tefach we're talking about is only when it's rolled. When it's rolled, when it's still a roll, it's not cold. It's only once it's unrolled. So I'll tell you about what it's very relevant. I'm going to mention it now. The buggies. A buggy. Have you ever thought about the potential shaila of opening and closing? You know, what's that called? The front of the buggy where, you know, the sun screen? It's not a sunscreen. The hood. Thank you very much. The hood. Okay, the hood. The hood of a buggy. You know the old-fashioned buggies? Even the modern buggy as well. The hood. Okay, now, Rabbi Yisai, has it occurred to you that potentially maybe oivon isad the rabbanon of making oil? You're making a tent. You are spreading, you're opening the hood, and by doing so, you're now creating a tent. Why not? So? So Rabbi Kagan is quite right. We'll see soon what, if not, but if, and very often it is, if it's slightly open, a tefach is a grand total of, it's not a lot, a tefach. If it's open a tefach already, then to spread it further and to open it up more, that's mutter lekule alma. Because we learned now that a tosefes oil ara is mutter. That's a mfurush gemara, that's mutter. The extension of an oil ara is always going to be mutter. If you've got a tefach open already, it could even be that the continuation, the extension is many more tefachim. It doesn't make a difference. It's still going to be mutter. Because toisef is oil ara is mutter. If it's not open a tefach, it's questionable. And we'll have to talk about that in Mitzvah Hashem. But normally it is. And if not, then you try to ensure that it is open a tefach. And if it's open a tefach, then the extension of it is considered toisef is oil ara, which is mutter lekule alma. The same will apply. Yeah, so if the umbrella is slightly open beforehand, to extend it even more, perhaps. I don't know. There's a bi'alocha later about this, I don't remember. But perhaps if it's open already, one second, I'd be surprised, but it could be. How would it be open at tefach? How would that work with an umbrella? But it's not open, how would you gauge the tefach? The mechanism, I don't see a problem with it. All you're pressing, it's like a... There's no chain there.
He's got a mechanism in there,
No, I don't know about the mechanism. I don't know why it should be a problem. Let me think about this. So if it's open a bit, then you've got no problem because all you're doing is your extension. But to actually put up, what are you doing? You're opening it? That's fine. You're not making oil. The oil is there already. We're moving the oil, which is fine. Yeah. So Rabbi Yisrael, the shoyrish of this heter is over here. We've got to remember that an extension of an oil, once you've got a tefach open, to extend it further is going to be mutter. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we learned this evening the halacha of a making a mechitza materes is also. Today we learned the halacha of making a mechitza mipnei achama, mipnei atzina, mipnei aneiros. Whenever you're making a mechitza because of temperature reason or wind or anything like that, or protecting something from the wind, all that is going to be mutter because it's not a mechitza materes. We learned, however, in order to for relations, shamish mitosa, sforim, to protect anything from shlas tzrochov, the Ramah talks about, if you need to protect the sforim because you need to make a mechitz in front of sforim, the halacha there is going to be that is considered making a mechitz materes, which is also. We then spoke about a scenario of the boat, in which you are taking boards and you're spreading it across to the other side, of the boat, and once you've done that before Shabbos, once you've done that, you spread a sheet over it, or a mat over it, which is going to be then in oil. So we learned that if the board themselves have got a tefach, it's mutter. Because all you're doing by spreading the mat over it, all you're doing is you're extending the mechitza with the oil, and that's mutter. To a surface oil is mutter. And not only that, but even if the board themselves are less than a tefach, but there's a handful of them, a few of them which are within Shlosh Tefachim, that's considered lavot, and therefore you've got already there, before Shabbos, a oil, and all you're doing is you're extending the oil, that is mutter on Shabbos. Good evening.